the great Hugh Masekela of South Africa with Timlela. It's from his 2002 album, Time. As you know, of course, Hugh Masekela left us, but not before completing incredible volumes of work. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and my plate, I readily admit, is full to overflowing. So much has happened since we last were together in terms of news that should have some importance to us. And we'll try our best to get through, but I know for sure, based on the list that I have, we are not going to make it to all of it today, but we'll continue to chip away each day until we tackle some of these very, very major stories. Well, I could start with a story that didn't get very much play when it first came out. This was late last month, after the World Mental Health Coalition held a conference in Washington, D.C., titled The Dangerous State of the World and the Need for Fit Leadership. Right there is a clue as to where I'm going. Specifically, they honed in on President Donald Trump and what they had to say as an organization was truly alarming. It's not the first time they said it, but they repeated it and updated it, and the update was even more concerning than their first pronouncements on Donald Trump's mental health, or what they perceived as him having some serious trouble with his mental stability. Let me read from part of the conclusions that they came to. They're saying here in their report that the president is exhibiting signs not only of mental instability, but that it is getting progressively worse. Here is what Jeffrey Sachs is quoted as saying. Jeffrey Sachs is an economist at Columbia University participating in this conference, and you would say, well, what the heck does this an economist have to do with psychiatric matters? He's saying, in effect, that there is a link, of course, and it cannot be ignored. It's part of what they were discussing as the mental fitness of leaders. After all, their mental state will affect their individual countries' policies and politics. And if you have somebody who is unfit or mentally unstable at the helm, and you just happen to be the president or the leader of a major country, then you can extrapolate from that that people have a right to be concerned. They have a right to be concerned. When I first talked about this, when it came, the report came out last year of psychiatrists and psychologists at a meeting, and I shared with you a tape of the specifics of their concern. And they issued a concern about Donald Trump's mental state under what they considered to be their duty, excuse me, their duty to warn. Their duty to warn. And they presented a profile, and of course, it was very clear, and they stipulated it, that nobody had actually examined directly the president, because that was just not made available. The opportunity to examine him directly was not available. And besides which, they were aware that they had certain proscriptions that prohibited them from making diagnoses without having directly examined a person. This was called the Goldwater Rule, because there were questions about Barry Goldwater at the time he ran for president, and the rule came about so as to protect any candidate or office holder from the conclusions that psychiatric authorities might make and not having directly examined them. So instead, these psychiatrists and psychologists and mental health experts have been going by what they call a duty to warn, a duty to warn. And it is their position, their professional position, that they are obligated as professionals, even if they have not directly examined a person. When that person holds an office of such power and influence as President of the United States, when they notice certain things that are indisputable, as mental health experts, it becomes their duty to warn the country, to warn all who have anything to do with it or in any way will be affected by the leadership and rule of such a person. It is incumbent upon them to warn of the dangers that they are seeing. And they're not speaking as lay people. They're speaking as experts, as people with considerable experience in mental health disorders, and so forth. Well, at the time, a report was issued, and this is now, last year, they issued a report concerning the mental, what they considered to be danger warnings about Donald Trump's mental health. And they put together a composite picture of what they were observing in his behavior. Jeffrey Sachs, who is an economist at Columbia University, was quoted as saying, now he's an economist, but of course he's involved and he's concerned because he's talking about the link between a leader who is not functioning well and what happens to the economy. He says, we're talking about the profound danger of the mentally unstable individual who holds the highest office in this country and most powerful single office in the entire world. That's quite a statement from an economist who notes the instability of the economy and the volatility of the economy and links it to the volatility of the president. Another person, a leader, voice in this movement of the duty to warn, Dr. Bandy Lee says, now, this is the update, he is rapidly declining. This is the president of the organization talking of psychiatrists and psychologists operating as the World Health Coalition. He is rapidly declining. His rallies have been increasingly less coherent, with greater signs of paranoid responses, increasing attraction to violence, increasing espousal of conspiracy theories. He is confused. He even confused his father's birthplace with his grandfather's birthplace. His mistakes are growing more and more bizarre. If we match the pattern of his deterioration against pathology, what disease states look like, we can say he is not well. Continually, we have been seeing that his erratic thoughts and behavior are more consistent with mental pathology than strategy. Now we are seeing a pattern of cognitive decline. Now, this should cause everybody to run out of their houses and into the streets screaming. And yet, we're not seeing very much in the way of reaction in media. Here are experts. This isn't the first time they have commented about Donald Trump's perceived instability. Now, if this opinion were coming from you or from me or from John Doakes and Mary Moakes, we say, well, we don't know anything. We are not well versed in this field. We have no reason to clinically diagnose anything with Donald Trump. But these are people drawn from a world of specialty. That specialty being the functioning of the human mind. And they're not just Americans. We have people from several walks of life, in some cases from several countries, concerned about the mental stability, or more accurately, instability of Donald Trump. This has not become a major point of concern. And it appears that things are okay because the country keeps going and he's having his rallies and he's talking his nonsense and calling people names and doing all this kind of stuff, being a jerk, making names up for people, making fun of people, being sarcastic and super simplistic. The recently released report, not released yet, I said the recent report by the Mueller investigation, he has not read it. And yet he's commenting all over the place about it. How off base it is, how incorrect it is, how much it penalized him and so forth. Has he read the report? No. The fact is, Donald Trump is incapable of sitting down and reading a 400 plus page report. Even if it's about him, he can't do it. Such is his mental condition. So we have some questions to ask here. Who actually is running the country right now? Is Donald Trump essentially vocalizing instructions being given by somebody or some other group? Is he capable of making an independent decision? Is he capable of creating plans and strategies? Or does he show up when he has word that a plan has been hatched or position has been taken and they'd like to discuss it with him prior to his news conference? And his job is to sell it as if it were his own original idea or the idea of his aggregate administration or his top advisors. Who is running Donald Trump? Who is running the country right now? And how do we get closer to some definitive conclusion or ascertainment of the state of affairs, mental affairs, emotional affairs with the President of the United States? He has gone crazy now, seeing opportunities to engage in warfare all over the place. Let's bomb this country. Let's invade that country. Let's put ridiculous sanctions on that other country. That's how this country is being run. And we, the people, are under some strange impression that he is the one who is basically guiding the ship of state. He may not be. And that makes it all the more important for us to know who exactly is running the country. Who is to assume responsibility for the monumental errors already made and that continue to be made? And who is yanking the chain around Donald Trump's neck? Is it possible that there is a kind of extortion going on, in that whoever is controlling him and his policies knows this is the big weak spot. It's the big con against the American people. We have a president who, everybody's saying it nicely, he is not well. Or CNN put it, there's something deeply wrong with him. Others are saying, well, he's unique. Well, that's another way of saying it. He cannot be controlled. Nobody has any definitive way of knowing for sure what Donald Trump is apt to do, even after they agree that he should do it. And this extends to US relations with allies and even with countries that the US is seeking to establish ties with. He's already embarrassed the country in his conduct all over the world. But this report that came out that says definitively that they believe this gathering of mental health and psychiatric experts and psychologists, he is in cognitive decline. Now, you may recall, and I take no joy in it, but one of the first things I said was that there's something wrong with the president. Even before he got into office. And all one had to do is pay attention to his manner, to his deportment, to his shockingly simplistic interpretation of the world. Someone with such a vast hole, a major hole, an abyss, when it comes to knowing how this country relates to other countries, having any kind of appreciation for history, nothing. He knows nothing like that. He doesn't read. He took great pride in telling people that. He doesn't read. So who's reading for him? And why are we supposed to be okay as a nuclear world power? Why are we supposed to be okay with the head of state, i.e., the commander in chief, operating at such major deficits? Who, I asked the question again, in all this time, while he has been permitted, whether because the powers that be are too embarrassed to recall him on the basis of deficiencies, psychiatric deficiencies of one sort or another. Do we have, and this is a serious question I'm asking, has there been a hijacking of the presidency? And a group of people or certain organizations or whatever have taken over the power and authority of shaping and running the government. This president, and I don't think it is even arguable, in the state that he is in and has been in, there is no way that Donald Trump individually and singularly can shape any kind of policy that makes sense. A man operating at serious intellectual deficit has practically no working knowledge. In fact, he took great pride in saying recently, as it relates to the Mueller report and some other issues relating to foreign policy, somebody read him, he took a little history lesson, he said, a little history lesson. And that was what, of course, offered by his aides, and that was what shaped his policy. So this guy is running reckless with the fate of the entire nation in his hands. I think it is time, way past due, that we come to some kind of understanding as to A, is there something truly wrong? Psychiatrists are saying something's wrong. Psychologists are saying something wrong. Something's wrong. We have an economist, a well-respected economist. I just read you a partial quote linking the state of affairs, the economic state of affairs in the United States, with a leader about whom there are too many questions outstanding with regard to his mental fitness. And we have seen a consistent escalation in the warmongering, the name-calling, the threats, and people may dismiss this as being really unimportant. But what if, I'm just asking, what if this president, in one of his manic moments, should say something that another nation determines to be an imminent threat and mobilizes on that basis to attack? You see, we're not thinking that. This is outside of our conception. This is outside of our ability to even conjecture that it could happen. And yet there are people who know the truth. There are people who know the truth that Donald Trump, as CNN said, there is something seriously wrong. He is seriously ill. And for all we know, he has to go through a daily regimen to make it appear that he has it all together. Meanwhile, there are people we don't know and we don't see and who are not empowered to make decisions. And all he has to do is read this statement from this single piece of paper before you, and then that's the end of that. Who's making policy for this country at the moment? And all of it can be solved with one issue closed. And that is, Donald Trump has, in one way or the other, to account for his mental fitness. And the country has to have some kind of measurement, some kind of barometer that could be used to determine not if a person already in office is fit for office, but beforehand. All these people who are declaring for 2020, for example, interesting crowd. How many of them are crazy? That's what we ought to know. How many of them are paranoid schizophrenics? Are they suited for leadership? Can they handle the stresses of the office? That's what progress should look like. Not shutting up and covering up for somebody who is definitely, there is some serious deficit going on here with Donald Trump. And yet we're being made to feel like we're out of place to question it. Nobody in Congress is raising it. And if you raise it and hand it to them and say, here are some papers by some world-renowned psychiatrists and psychologists, and here's what they state, here's what they're observing. And hearings should be held. Is this going to be part, for example, of an impeachment process? This is not a joke. And people are so calm. They're so nonchalant about it all. They even brush it off as a joke, as a kind of amusement. There he goes again saying silly things. There he goes again being his obnoxious self when he may be having a crisis at that very moment. There he goes with these crazy decisions that he's making, like deciding to deprive 800,000 workers their rightfully earned paychecks. You see? You see how we got over that? We got over that very easily. It was just, he just is so hell-bent on doing this thing, and this is his way of winning no matter what, and you just brush it off. Our country is in jeopardy. And we think it is not right to say so. We think it is not correct to question, even though we are seeing what we are seeing, and we are experiencing what we are experiencing. And this could not be from anybody who is well adjusted. These things cannot come from somebody who is stable. People are trying to warn us. They're trying to tell us we are not in a good place. The country is not in a good place. And the very concepts that we talk about so proudly of democracy and all of that, you can't be proud of a democracy that would hold up a cardboard cutout in front of you and tell you this is your president, when there are all kinds of people in the back, like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, they're pulling the strings. They're creating our daily reality. We have a right to know. I'll take this break and come back for a little bit more right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're just scratching the surface. I have a list here. I'm afraid to look at it because we have so many things to discuss. But we started off today with this determination by an august body of psychiatrists and psychologists, again warning. Not only that the President of the United States is in psychological trouble, but that he is in cognitive, according to them, he is in cognitive decline. And yet we have now a crisis. What do you do when professionals determine that the head of state is in cognitive decline? And they heretofore, before making this judgment, they had also they had expressed profound concern about what they saw as aberrations in his conduct and his behavior. And now we find a growing voice sharing these thoughts with the public, as part of what they call their duty to warn. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Bill from New Jersey, you start us off today.
Good afternoon,
Hello.
Eutrice.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Got to call in for with the flip side. First of all, the whole field of psychology is nothing but garbage. So whatever they say is meaningless as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not just the only one that feels that. Gary Noel feels the whole field of psychology is garbage as well. So what they say is meaningless. It's just an opinion. It's just some guys with opinions and calling them experts. I don't believe any mainstream doctors of any kind are experts in anything. I haven't been to a doctor in over 30 years because I know they don't know anything. And in your own personal experience, the doctors that told you that there was nothing you could do about your cancer, they were experts, and they were wrong. That was their opinion, and they were experts, and they were just plain wrong. So doctors are wrong every day, all day, every day.
I don't hold that position. I don't hold that position at all.
Well,
it was simply their estimation. And
it was their opinion.
Their opinion, but inevitably, I know I will die.
Well,
does that prove them right or what? It is simply,
everyone will.
This is how life works.
You know, everyone will, but their opinion that there was nothing that you could do was incorrect. I mean, it's just an opinion. These so-called experts have opinions.
But at the same time, it was their opinion that nothing could have been done at that time. I got a different opinion. That's all it is.
Yes, I'm saying.
But
my
you
point
said something
is that just
I
opinion.
Want you to reconsider. You said it is garbage.
Yeah.
Why would you use such a word to describe a field of study that people devote a lot of time to? And whatever you think, I wouldn't say that any particular field is garbage. I would say that, you know, I tend not to agree. But I wouldn't call their field of endeavor garbage.
Well, it's my opinion, just like it's their opinion that Trump is crazy. It's my opinion that their field is garbage. That my point is that everyone has an opinion. Their opinion is of no more value than your opinion or my opinion, just because supposedly they have this sheepskin on the wall. That doesn't mean their opinion is valid.
You're discussing two different things. We're not comparing opinions. I have not made a clinical assessment of this president.
True.
I know what I've said about his behavior.
And neither have they.
I know what
neither
I've said.
Neither have they.
I have not made a clinical assessment. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
And neither have they.
I'm sorry?
Neither have they. And neither have they. They haven't made an assessment. You can't make an assessment without ever meeting a person, without interviewing them, without talking to them.
They were the first ones to say that. They admit that. That's why they referred to the aegis under which they are promoting or providing what they have come up with. They make it very clear. We have not interviewed the president.
Exactly.
So that doesn't mean that they can't offer an opinion based on their observation of his behavior.
Right.
And
my only point is that all it is, my only point is, all that is an opinion, and opinions are colored by your own personal beliefs.
But it is not just an opinion. This is what you're refusing to admit, Bill. This is not just an opinion.
But it is an opinion.
Nobody has said, I think so and so, or I observe this, or I observe that. They spoke as dispassionately as possible about what they have observed of the president's behavior that they have studied. Now, you got to give them credit somewhere for that.
Well, no, I don't give them credit there for that because, again, it's everything that anyone says is opinion. In my opinion, everything I say is my opinion. Everything they say
there's opinion, and then there's informed opinion, and then there's your basic standard issue, regular, I have not thought about anything except how it hits me kind of opinion. I think we should give enough respect. Whether you believe in psychiatry or psychology or whatever it is, here is a group of professionals, and they're not just Johnny come lately. They've been at this for some time. They have credentials in their field that have been recognized all over the world. They're presenting some of their observations as part of, and they made it very clear, a duty to warn. It is their duty as professionals, when they observe such aberrant behavior, to call to the attention of the public that these are the things that they have observed, and they're operating within that framework. I don't find anything objectionable about that. It's like if somebody asks me my opinion about an issue of the day, and I'm offering my opinion based on 40-something years as a journalist. I'm not saying that I'm right. I am offering an opinion, and I will try my best to offer things that buttress my opinion, facts that buttress my opinion. So it is the same thing with them. People are free to discard it, and this is the point I'm making. Throw it out if you want. Throw out their opinions if you want. Disregard their opinions if you want. But is it possible that they, based on their expertise and experience, are calling or trying to call our attention to a very serious matter which we insist on dismissing as being garbage or irrelevant? Could that be possible?
Let me ask one opinion from you. Beatrice?
Yes, I'm listening.
In your opinion, Trump is crazy. Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that. Is Trump crazier or is Hillary Clinton crazier?
As you know, I've spent 3 years so far talking about Hillary Clinton.
Which one is crazier in your opinion?
It doesn't matter.
Which one is more mentally unstable?
If somebody stabs you or somebody cuts you, which is better?
Well, Hillary Clinton, if she had been president, I think we'd already be at war.
You're arguing an if. We're not talking about if here.
My point is to say Trump is crazy. Yes, he's crazy. Barack Obama was crazy. Bill Clinton was crazy.
That was not the point that they made.
They're all crazy.
They did not make such an assessment of Barack Obama
or
Bill Clinton or anybody else.
That is my point. They are biased.
They're not biased. It's just that they undertook. I mean, look.
Well, Bill Clinton.
If you're trying hard not to admit you have a profound personal objection, that's okay.
All I want is to be objective. To focus in on Trump is crazy, and this whole thing that Trump is what's wrong with America. Trump is not what's wrong with America.
What they are saying. I read you
directly that
they're saying. That is not what they're saying. They're saying they have observed aberrant behavior enough to cause their trigger mechanism called the duty to warn to kick in. That was the first report. They're saying now in their second report, not only is the president still dealing with these deficiencies, I should say deficiencies, but he is now in cognitive, as they see it, cognitive decline. Should that bother you? If not, it's okay. I am just bringing to your attention that people are making a yeoman's effort to apprise the public in the interest of public health and safety that these are the things that they found to be concerning, and now it has gone to a whole other level. If you have a child with a cold, and you think, oh, well, it's just a cold, but then you see the child is spitting up and there's mucus and blood and whatnot coming out of this child, you cannot just sit by and say, well, it's a cold, she'll get better. You have been given warnings about the state of affairs of your child's health. Now it's up to you to decide whether you want to do something or not do something. In your case, you say, let's not do anything. Let's accept whatever it is they give us as a report, simply as a byproduct of a garbage profession. And I say, you're entitled to do that. I don't deem it as such. I pay attention to it because I would want to know what is it that they are seeing? Why are they so concerned about warning the entire country as to what it is they're seeing that we refuse to see, let alone do anything about? That's my view. In the end, you know, they're the experts. I'm not an expert in this field at all. However, I see where my initial observation, my initial non-professional observation of the president before they even offered their first report coincided perfectly with my observations. That's interesting to me. How does that happen? Well, you got us started today, Bill. Thanks so much for calling in. Steve from New York, you're on the air.
I sort of agree with the last caller. I think you've gone around the bend on this one a little bit. Now, I don't like Trump. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Hillary. I voted for Jill Stein. Last time around, I didn't vote for Obama. I voted for Ralph Nader. Okay? Now, you know, you're harping on this thing and you're harping on this thing. Maybe he is crazy. Okay?
I did not
but,
say he's
you know,
crazy.
Well, whatever word you want to use. Okay? You know,
Let's not do that.
He's very obnoxious.
Let's be specific.
But in my opinion, people that kill people with drones and people that kill 40,000 people like Obama did in Libya. Now, nobody ever came out and called him all kinds of names. I think
I'm not going to fall for it because this is a diversion. You know, as well as I do, as well as everybody listening, we are speaking about a specific matter. We need not go back to the 18th century or the Mesozoic era. We're speaking about the here and now, and this is what is the here and now. Don't go off in all these different tributaries looking for a way to dispel or to detract from the seriousness of this particular report by giving us an example that has nothing to do with it. You don't strengthen your argument that way. Here's where you could stand. One, this is for the second time group, a rather, how should I say, a rather high-profile group of psychiatrists and psychologists have come up with an assessment of the president's mental fitness. This is what they have found. Let's just deal with that. It doesn't link with anything else. This is what we're talking about right here in the moment. So I don't have to discuss Obama. I don't have to discuss Thomas Jefferson. I don't have to discuss any other president. The report is not about any of them. The report is about Donald Trump. Deal with that. Go. Let's hear your argument. Oh, he has left us.
Oh, geez. You're not letting me talk. I'm about ready to not, you know, listen to your show anymore. And I listen to it a lot. And I've always liked you.
I'm not letting you talk. I, in fact, have been calling out to you and asking you to react to what it is I'm saying. And here's the thing. I will say this, and I mean it. Don't ever threaten me. You don't want to listen to this program? Don't. I'm not begging you to listen to this program. If you don't want to listen to it, that is your right. But don't ever threaten me. I will never listen to your program again. I will not lose sleep over it. The idea is that we come together to discuss things, presuming a maturity on each other's parts to deal with positions to the contrary as mature people. But if it is your position that because you don't agree with what I'm saying, you will not listen to the program again. Number one, it is exceedingly immature to take a position like that. And secondly, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you or those listening to appreciate the sides, both sides of an argument. I have not been punitive to you because you hold a different view from mine. I'm interested in how you defend your view. And you evidently couldn't. But don't ever threaten me with this nonsensical thing about if you keep talking this way, in other words, if you keep disagreeing with me, I won't listen to your program again. I will tell you right now that you shouldn't. And I would agree with you if you decide not to listen to the program again, if it does not meet your informational needs. But I will tell you this. Never think you could threaten me. Ever. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
The beloved family.
Thank you.
I'm agreeing with much of what you're saying. There are just so many examples, you know, just not dealing with the same set of facts. So Trump at one point said that there's billions of dollars coming into the U.S. Treasury. This is around his tariffs on China, which is not how tariffs work. The manufacturer, the company of the product pays the tariff and then consumer. Recently, besides not knowing where his dad was born, he couldn't say the word origins, suggesting some neurological type of impairment. His dad did have Alzheimer's at the end of his life.
If I may add this, Ahmad, what did the president himself say about tariffs and understanding tariffs specifically as it related to China?
Well, he was saying off the cuff that billions of dollars was coming into the U.S. Treasury. And, so he's delusional when he's not lying or both.
But
which
here's
is
what's
not
more important. The president admitted He has no understanding.
Exactly.
Did he not do that? Did he not admit, I took a little history lesson? That's what he said. In other words, somebody sat him down for about 10 minutes and told him what tariffs in China, the tariffs from China and between China and the United States were all about. And that constituted his comprehensive understanding of tariffs. He himself said that. Now, that's another example. Which head of state, A, would admit that he is woefully ignorant on something of such importance? And two, thinks that it is a sign, he tells a story to indicate what a fast learner he is. You know something wrong there. And he said it himself. He has nobody to, you don't have to deny it. That's what he said. Well, we've come to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for listening and contributing. And truly, I'll tell you this. I love when we can disagree. But watch yourself. Thanks for listening. We join each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.